There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast. We are part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Eric Steven. We have a Dodgers rewind today, our first on our new platform, the Three Inning Save podcast, and with me today to talk about this old former Dodgers player is Jacob Burtz. Jacob, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Tell me what you know about Nate Oliver other than he's the subject of today's Dodgers Rewind.
I know that he's the subject of the trivia question you're about to ask me.
Yeah, that's a fair thing. He's somewhat relevant not fully. I'll explain why after the trivia. But this year, 2023, is the 60th anniversary of the Dodgers championship team in 1963. That's the one that swept the Yankees in the World Series, which would have been unheard of, at the time. Over at True Blue LA, all season long, I am going to review that 1963 season week by week, even if it kills me. I will say I got a good head start on this in the offseason, so I'm not totally committing to a very painful process, but it should be a fun series. I'm looking forward to it. Nate Oliver, that year, 1963, he started the year at second base in his rookie season. It was one of 5 years he played with the Dodgers. So my trivia to you, Jacob, is this. Nate Oliver, his major league debut, came on opening day in 1963. He started at second base. He's one of only 9 LA Dodgers to make their major league debut with an opening day start. Who was the last one? And my hint to you before we give this away later is he is the only one of the group in the actual Jacob era.
Which wild card era for listeners
who
don't get that.
To explain. But even I don't have the list up in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's also the Jacob Life era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll talk more about this. I'm eager to hear it, but I have thoughts on the answer, but just on this trivia question in general.
And actually, I will tell you, just going from memory, I don't have it up, but there is one other player who did this when you were alive.
Okay.
But I don't think almost a year old Jacob knew this player. So I don't think you need to get him. But anyway, Nate Oliver, his father Jim played in the Negro Leagues. He was a shortstop. There is a baseball field named after Jim Oliver in St. Petersburg. It's James Oliver Field. It was refurbished back in 2006 by the Rays. Nate Oliver, he was born and grew up in St. Petersburg. That's where the Rays play. even though they're the Tampa Bay Devil, or not Devil Rays anymore, but Rays. But he played high school ball at Gibbs High in St. Petersburg. The Dodgers signed him in 1959. So he hit 329 at Great Falls. This was before, like the year before they switched to like the current classification system of like AAA, AA, and all that. This was like Class C, but I was looking, the Dodgers had so many affiliates in 1960. It was like, if I had to guess, it was probably AA. You know, it might have been like some level of high, but there were so many affiliates. Like it's really hard to peg exactly what level that is like by today's standards. But in the next 2 years, he was at AAA. He hit 292 combined in 1961 and 62. Those were his age 20 and 21 seasons. He hit 34 doubles in the second of those years. He was really good. So both Nate Oliver and Ken McMullen made the team as rookies in 1963. McMullen started at third base opening day, Oliver at second. So McMullen had two stints with the Dodgers. He was part of the big Frank Howard, Claude Osteen trade with the Senators a few years later. McMullen was the Dodgers rewind back in June 2022. Nate Oliver, Ken McMullen started at opening day 63. It gave the Dodgers two rookies on the opening day roster for the first time since 1950. So I found a UPI story that sort of mentioned this fact. I was looking back at that team. So they didn't actually have two rookies in the starting lineup in 1950, but Bobby Morgan started at third base on opening day. I couldn't figure out who the second rookie was. I assume they meant on the roster, but if it was just someone who didn't start, but it might've been like pitcher Dan Bankhead, who maybe was on the roster, but again, didn't start an opening day. So it's not quite the same, but UPI in 1963 described spring training like this, quote, "The big project in Dodgers camp is rookie second baseman Nate Oliver. If the Dodgers were weak anywhere last year, it was at second base." They described the position as, quote, "being handed to Oliver on a platter." So the year before, 1962, Dodgers second baseman hit 229, 329, 301. It was a mix of Jim Gilliam, who the Dodgers like would kind of move around a lot wherever needed, and Larry Burright. Oliver in 1963 singled in his first two at bats on opening day against Larry Jackson of the Cubs. He started the first 22 games that season, but he was only hitting 218. His on base and slugging were both below 300. Not that anyone paid attention to that necessarily back then. So he only started 18 games the rest of the year, but he played a lot in reserve. And he also split time that year between the Dodgers and AAA Spokane again. So the Dodgers again turned to Gilliam at second base, even though he didn't start the year there. Gilliam's like 34 this year. He went through a few years like this where, oh, I think I'm going to retire. And then I can't remember if it was 65 or 66 where he actually had retired and he was going to be a coach. And then they're like, we need you to play. So he ended up playing like the most of the year. This is how Oliver described Gilliam later in an interview with Ed Adanasio in This Great Game. Quote, "Junior Gilliam was essentially the manager on the field. He had no problem taking on that role. If a pitcher was in trouble out there or something was going awry, Gilliam would step up immediately and act as the manager." And it's worth noting, Gilliam, before Fernando Valenzuela this coming year, Gilliam's the only non-Hall of Famer to have his number retired by the Dodgers, and mm-hmm. that's how highly thought of he was in the organization, not only as a player, but also as a coach later on. And I believe he was Walter O'Malley, the owner, his favorite player. I'm sure that played into it, but also he died right before the World Series in 1978, and so I think there was a lot of sort of reaction to that too, but he was just excellent, excellent player. Obviously had a huge influence on many people, including Nate Oliver. I would say Oliver had an eventful 5 years, or it was like a very good time to be a Dodger. The Dodgers played in three World Series in those years. He didn't play in 1963 or 65 in the World Series, but he did appear briefly in 1966 against the Orioles in game four. Down 1-0 in the ninth inning, he was a pinch runner. Advanced to second base on a walk by Maury Wills, but then Dave McNally retired Willie Davis and Lou Johnson to finish off the sweep. That was one of the all-time, like, crazy World Series. The Dodgers had won two of the previous three. I think they were favored. The Orioles had a really young rotation. They had, like, peak Koufax, Drysdale. The Dodgers in that World Series were shut out in the final three games. They scored two total runs, and that was in game one. They didn't score in the last 33 innings of the series. So that was sort of the backdrop there. But we'll talk about the rest of Nate Oliver's career after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy Nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
So Nate Oliver hit 234, 296, 273 with a 69 OPS plus in 329 games over his 5 years with the Dodgers. He was traded to the Giants with future all-time hit-by-pitch leader Ron Hunt at the 1968 winter meetings for all-star catcher Tom Haller. Oliver played 1 year with the Giants. Then he split 1969 with the Yankees and Cubs. Leo Durocher was the manager of that Cubs team. Durocher was a coach with the Dodgers when he debuted in 63. So in 410 major league games, Oliver hit 226, 283, 258 with a 63 OPS plus. I would say one thing now that I definitely didn't appreciate growing up was I saw Oliver quite a bit when he managed the Class A Palm Springs Angels in 1990 and 1991. That was like my peak of going to see Class A baseball because it was right across the street from my high school. My friend Tom was a bat boy for a little bit. And so I used to, you know, go see quite a few games there, but didn't realize at the time who Nate Oliver was or that he was a former Dodger. So I guess I didn't fully appreciate it at the time. Oliver in 2006 was a bunting instructor for the White Sox. I believe that was his only year with them as a coach. I couldn't find other information on that. Baseball Reference does not have bunt or infield hits for when Oliver played, but he did have 16 sacrifice bunts in his seven-year career. That's the backdrop for this story. Former Dodgers third base coach Preston Gomez was profiled by Frank Lids at Sports Illustrated in 1982. This is not the person who started the hat store, by the way, just to clear that up. But a chunk of the story was about various Gomez tricks and decoys as a coach. This is from the story. One day with the Dodgers, he walked toward the plate. Squeeze on the next pitch, Gomez told batter Nate Oliver loud enough for San Francisco catcher Dick Dietz to hear. The Giant infield stayed deep. Oliver squeezed on the second pitch and the run scored. I guess Dietz thought I was kidding, says Gomez. There's only one problem with this. Unless it was an exhibition game, I don't think it actually happened. For one, Oliver played with the Dodgers from 1963 to 1967. Dietz started his career in 1966, so there were only 2 years they could have played against each other as Dodgers and Giants. As a side note, Dick Dietz, some of you may know, he is more famously known in Dodger circles as being the guy to help extend Don Drysdale's scoreless streak in 1968, May 31st, against the Giants, bases loaded, nobody out. Dodgers are up 3-0 in the top of the ninth. Drysdale's streak is at 44 innings. He's trying for his fifth straight shutout. He hits Dietz with a 2-2 pitch that would have forced in a run, except home plate umpire Harry Wendelstedt ruled that Dietz made no effort to get out of the way. He flew out one pitch later, and then Drysdale got the final two batters to extend his streak, which ended up going to 58 innings. But back to Dietz and Oliver. They only played five games against one another. Oliver never even batted with a runner on third base in those games. Going further, in Oliver's seven-year career, he only had one game in which he had both a sacrifice bunt and a run batted in. That came in 1964 in Houston. But the RBI came on a double in the second inning off Turk Farrell. That scored Tommy Davis from second. Gomez was not a Dodgers coach in 1964. Leo Durocher, the aforementioned, was L.A.'s third base coach that year. And DeRocher would later manage Oliver in 1969 with the Cubs. So what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes, you know, double check on this stuff. But it's still a cool story, but maybe it was an exhibition game. I
never let it rule cool, man. It happened.
So back to our story. So nine LA Dodgers, or trivia question, excuse me. Nine LA Dodgers had their major league debut come on an opening day start. Uh-huh. Who was the last one?
So I like this question a lot because I was surprised that there was that few. And then you think about it, guys, it kind of makes sense that, you know, like think of like James Outman, right? Like really close to his debut, but
his fifth major league game. Yeah, exactly. He was sort of, he's not the full impetus of this because I believe when I started researching this, it was sort of before it became obvious that James Outman was going to make the roster. Uh-huh. So like that, but he's like the closest one to that. But like, yeah, you're right. Like it's very rare. Like you mentioned, like, I'm sure some of the ones you're thinking of, like some of the rookies of the year, a lot of them debuted like the September before. And like, you know, it's hard coming out swinging in the lineup day one.
Like, so I have two guesses.
Yeah.
And if both are wrong, I'll let you give me a hint or two, and then I'll take one more guess.
Sure, sure.
Cody Bellinger.
No, I don't remember the exact day, but it was sometime in mid to late April in 2017 when he came up.
He counts. All right. Then it's over. All right. Peterson.
No, he also debuted in 2014 in September. I believe famously.
Man, I don't remember that.
He had I believe that was the year where he and a few other Dodgers had to go at Wrigley Field and walk in full uniform to Starbucks to get everybody's order. And so that was kind of fun. So I'll give you the year. It's 2008. Okay. And I'll tell you, this person started because the two players who are going to play the position both got hurt very late in spring training. And the position was third base.
2008.
My other hint for you for this player, I'm looking up to make sure. I was gonna say that wasn't the position he played the most, but it was the position he played the most that year. But I will look up why I thought that, because there might be a way to get out of this.
My last guess, Blake DeWitt.
That's your best guess, because it's right. The reason I think – he played every playoff game that year for the Dodgers, and all of them at second base. So he played during the season. Most of his time was at third by far. But, yeah.
Was that Casey Blake that was hurt?
No, they did. That was the year they acquired Casey
Blake. Okay, got it.
So it was Andy LaRoche hurt his back, I believe. And then I think Nomar Garciaparra was sliding into third and got hurt. I was looking back on this. It's wild because, like, the few years before, it was like it was unheard of that Nomar Garciaparra could play, like, anything but first because he was, like, so injury prone. And then they're like, no, he's going to be our third baseman now. And then he got hurt. but then he, like, played a decent amount. Like, what a weird time anyway. Yeah, so that's pretty good. So a couple of the others. So the one that's also in the Jacob Life era, Mike Ramsey, 1987 center fielder.
That was not a name guessed.
Famously, though, he's one of two Mike Ramseys to play in the 1980s for the Dodgers. So this is – let me just look this up. The other one is an infielder. Maybe possibly more known as White Mike Ramsey. This one is Black Mike Ramsey, who played in center field only 1 year for the Dodgers, 1987. Never played in the majors again after that. He had a 57 OPS plus. However, he did go 2-for-4 in that first game with a run and an RBI. In 1985, Mariano Duncan. It's a lot. So Ken McMullen, I think, must have debuted prior to his 1963, but I do remember one of my favorite Ken McMullen facts, so I'm sure I brought this up on his Dodgers Rewind, was if you look at like the history of Dodgers opening day starters, there's like Ken McMullen, 1963, then he didn't start for them. And then he goes off to the Senators, and then he eventually comes back. And then he starts again at third base in 1973, and that's it. That's the only two times he started an opening day for the Dodgers. But Jim Gilliam, the aforementioned, he also started opening day in 1953, but you have to consider, too, that that was he had previous experience in the Negro League, so it wasn't like he was coming in totally green. I'm looking through this list. Oh, wow. I don't remember if we did a Dodger Rewind on this, but Dick Whitman, a.k.a. Don Draper, apparently, 1946 for Brooklyn. It was, the war was a strange act. Oh, man. So, the war. 1946 for Brooklyn on opening day, April 16th. One, two, three, four Dodgers made their major league debut in the opening day lineup. it was Dick Whitman, Jack Graham, Carl Farrillo, who you people know, and Farrell Anderson. Another one on this list, Gene Mock, future manager. He debuted for the Dodgers on opening day in 1944. He was a shortstop. Ernie Coy is a previous Dodgers Rewind. Bernie Neese was also a previous Dodgers Rewind way back in 1920. That's not when we did the Rewind. That's when he debuted. But yeah, that's a fun list.
I'm looking. So a couple names I'm going to point out. One, you missed the best name on the list, which is Binky Jones.
Oh, I did miss that. You're right.
Who had a career OPS plus of -34.
Oh my God.
Yeah. not much of it. And what's interesting is Willie Keeler is listed as on this list, but he has a game and
So I believe it's because the search only goes back to 1901.
Okay.
So anyone who played before that, they're just like, yeah, we don't recognize.
So their first, his first post 1901 was with Brooklyn. Okay. That makes sense. So there you go.
I see. Okay. Yeah. All right. So back, let's wrap up Nate Oliver here. This is again from that interview with the great game, with Nate Oliver. This is what he had to say about those Dodgers teams that reached three World Series in 4 years. They won two. Quote, the Dodgers were known around the league as a very arrogant team at that time. People said they were very conceited, but it wasn't that at all. They were just really confident, and people misinterpreted that as arrogance. It was instilled in them from the first day in the organization, and the people who played there respected the tradition and fostered it. Every year there was only one goal, and that was to get to the World Series. Everything else was second best. So, Nate Oliver, who you might not a lot of Dodger fans might know about, had a pretty unique career. Like, starting on opening day as a rookie, that's pretty rare. So that's why I want to talk about him. But yeah, that's it. That's the sort of nature of this. For those of you who used to listen to us on the True Blue LA feed, we'll do these every once in a while, like a little look back. They're shorter episodes, but hopefully you enjoy them. A little taste of Dodgers history. But that's today. Nate Oliver, thank you for listening, everybody. And we'll be back with you with another episode next week. Thanks for listening.